way, if you've never been to High Point Camp, you are more than welcome to ride up with me when we take the kids, just so you can see it for yourself. There's something to be said of actually laying your eyes on what you're supporting. It is one of the most phenomenal sights. When you turn the corner around the church and you head up the hill and you see the camp just unfold right in front of you, it's pretty impressive. So you are more than welcome to go with me to take the kids or to go pick the kids up. I would gladly encourage you to ride. Actually, let me tell you this. Come with me to pick the kids up. You will hear for a solid, and I have to thank you for this, for an hour and a half, chants that they learn all week. And they don't just whisper them. They scream them in our rolling tin can that just reverberates the sound all over the place for an hour and a half. It's fantastic. So please, I encourage you, go with me. You will love it. It is a great camp, man. They're doing cool stuff up there. It is so good for us. So we're going to continue on talking about what we talked about last week about faith. Remember, faith is forsaking all. I trust him. It is the forgiveness is available, but it's not automatic, that it's impossible for us to get there on our own. But if we turn from our sin and self and turn to Jesus, we have the promise of eternal life, not just in heaven, but right here, right now. But when I talk about those things, I always start thinking about, well, how do I know? Because those are questions we all think about. Those are questions I wrestled with as a kid, even as a young adult. How do I know? I hear all the things, I read all the things, I experience God, but how do I really know? That's what I want to talk about today, because I know that some of you think that very thought. My favorite phrase that I hear from a lot of people, and I even heard it from my own grandmother, and I was able to talk with her and hopefully encourage her in the right direction, but one of the things that a lot of times we get to the place of, well, I just hope it's all good. I hope that it's enough. I hope that it's true. And when I hear that word hope, there's two different meanings for me. One, it's that, well, it could be, it may not be, or it's a confident expectation that it really actually is going to take place. And for me, it is a confident expectation. My hope is absolutely sure in Christ that what he did on the cross is absolutely enough for me. But I don't want our church to be a church that, well, I hope that it's okay. I hope that it's good enough. No, it should be, I hope. My hope is in Christ. And so this morning, we're going to take a road here. And if we're not careful, you could detour really quick and go in a direction that you do not need to go. So I want you to hear the sermon from start to finish and clearly see what we're talking about. My desire this morning is not to cause doubt. My desire is to allow the Spirit to truly dig in deep and to bring confidence in the decision that you probably made years ago, or maybe that you just recently made, or maybe this is a new decision that you've been toying with and today could be your day and you could walk out of here with a steadfast hope, knowing that what you read, what you hear, what your experience is absolutely true. Okay, so here we go. Last week we talked about faith in or on Jesus is the key to a relationship with God. God is the great creator that we believe has created all things, created us in the image of him. And we also believe that he sent his son to teach us how to live this life and to be able to place our faith and trust on his death, burial, and resurrection that we can have eternal life, not just later, but even right now we can experience the presence of God in everyday motions and everyday thinking and everyday words that we go through. And it's important that it is stemmed through a relationship with Jesus. That's the key. So here's the question that we want to talk about today. Here's the thought. Salvation, this whole being saved thing, this whole trusting in Christ, salvation. Salvation is evidenced by an obedient life. So many people wonder, well, I think I'm saved. I may be saved. I know I prayed a long time ago, but I'm not quite sure. Well, here's one way you can be sure. Are you obedient? There is no way around that. I can't explain that any simpler. Are you obedient to Christ or not? Because that is a sure sign of whether our lives are in tune with him or not. He goes on to say that a changed life from where we were. So you should be able to look at your life 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, and where you are today should be at least a little bit different, if not a lot different. And that is evidence of something going on within us. Does that mean we've reached perfection? No. Does that mean we're going to be just have it all figured out? No. It means we are on a journey, and where I was a while back should be different than where I am today. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. How do I know? Well, I can look at my life and see, am I different than what I was? And if I am, then something is happening. Okay? So here we go. We're going to see a lot of what Jesus has to say about this because there is so much that he talked about. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is a great verse. And I want to really concentrate on the end part of this before we really get into this. Because it says this. Now, faith, this is what we're talking about. Faith, our confidence in Christ, our confidence in what he did. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I've read over that verse, quoted that verse, glazed over that verse until I read it this week, and then it hit me. It's the evidence of things not seen. You see, we as believers want God just to confirm our salvation by some spectacular, humongous event, flashing lights, a road sign, like something to convince us. And yet the reality is our salvation, our faith, is being evidenced by things that are happening within us that we can't recognize or even understand. Maybe you were a nasty, mean person before you came to Christ. And when you came to Christ, you realized, wait a second, I'm supposed to love people and be nice to people. So I'm going to work at not saying that. So it sounds like it's all me making the change. But here's the thing. I remember me before Christ. I wasn't like that. I don't know how to do that. And so now I'm going to try to choose to do differently. Why? One, because I know it's the right thing to do, but now I've got something else within me guiding me, strengthening me, and helping me to actually be nice to people when I don't want to be nice to people. Amen? You know that. It's the same way when you're riding down the road and you want to cuss the person in front of them because they just cut you off. That was the old life. The new life says, nope, shouldn't do that. I'll just wave at them and say, God bless you. Right? When everything within you is a battle, that is the evidence of things not seen. We cannot see the Spirit working in us, but we see the evidence of the things coming out of us. So in our life, if wrong things continue to come out, maybe our heart is not truly in tune to God the way that we think it is. But if things are coming out that we're like, where'd that come from? Well, you should know that there is a Spirit of God living within you that you are trusting, and that's where it's coming from. It is the evidence of things that has not been seen. Listen, there are lots of things that have happened in this place over the last 4 years that we can truly say, well, it sure ain't because of the pastor. That was supposed to be funny. You can laugh at that. It's okay. It's not because of this or because of that. It's because of what God is doing here. He's doing things that we can't even imagine that would have happened. I mean, we could go back and talk about the stories of the farm over here that we bought and all the land and all the dirt that we got. Like, that's weird stuff that we had no control over that God did. Why? Because it's evidence of what he is doing in this place. The same works for your life. Things happen out of your control that you're like, I don't understand that, but I see what's happening here. It's because of the Spirit that lives within you. That's just the first verse. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is being kind of questioned by some of the Pharisees there, some of the lawyers that are talking to him. In Luke chapter 10, he starts this way. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. This was like their favorite thing to do because Jesus was just some carpenter guy walking around doing some cool stuff. And so they get him into the temple and they ask him a very important question. He says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? By the way, that's the question we're all looking to answer, whether you realize that or not. How do I get from here to somewhere else? What is written in the law, Jesus says to him. Well, you're the lawyer. Why are you asking me? You're the one that studied this stuff. By the way, I wrote it. But why are you asking me? You know it better than I do. What is your reading of it? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think it's interesting here that before Jesus gave all that, these guys are taking the Ten Commandments and boiling them down to two. This is a lawyer that knows all of those laws inside and out. And he says, well, it's supposed to be loving God first and loving our neighbor second. I just find that intriguing. And he says to him, you've answered rightly. Jesus says, absolutely, you got it. If you will do that, you will live. Now listen, that's a loaded statement in and of itself. If you will just love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself, you figured it out. That's the way we're supposed to live this life. You can have eternal life just by doing that. How easy is that on our own? Do you, man, when I was reading through this sermon and studying it, it started convicting me. Do I really love God the way that I say that I love him? Because I can even look at my marriage, and I have a great marriage, by the way. You can tell Sally I'm going to say this because I'll say it in the second service right in front of her. But there are times where the childhood love and the honeymoon love isn't quite there. And I begin to do things that please me or things that I want to do, knowing that she's not going to be happy with it. Without asking permission. Not that I ask for permission. But it's not a bad thing to do, husbands, to include your wife on the things that you want to do. My point is, if I truly loved her the way that I say that I do, I would not be selfish in the things that I do. Ooh, no amens on that one. Okay, that's okay. Because it's true, you don't have to amen it. The reality is, if I truly love God, then I'm going to love him with all of my heart, all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. We fail miserably at that. Does that make us horrible Christians? No. No. Does it make you a weak Christian? No. It just means we got a lot to work on. It means we're in this journey. We haven't figured it all out yet. And so the Spirit moves within us, doing things that we don't know that he's doing. And he's working things out within us to where we can be better people, to where we can love. But then even the second one, to love our neighbor as ourself, give me a break. Some of you don't even like your neighbors. Some of you don't even like your coworkers or your bosses. You may not even like your kids. But the reality is, Jesus said, if you will do those two things, you'll live. Now, I don't think he just meant eternal life either. I think if we can do those things here on this life right here, right now, we will have a life better than you could ever imagine. Better than you could ever find anywhere else. And so the first thing that we can do, faith is evidenced by what we do. Now, when I say by what we do, I'm not talking about work salvation here. I'm talking about works being evidence of what's going on with inside of us. Being kind-hearted to people that don't deserve it and haven't earned it. Doing things unselfishly for people around us, especially our husbands, our wives, and our children. By loving God with every word that comes out of our mouth, by every action that we do, by every place that we go, by just simply how we live. That's the first evidence. If you're not living that way, then I would challenge you to really rethink this thing. Because there should be a difference in your heart and in your life towards God and towards other people. That's just the first one. So here's the second one. But before we get to it, I want to read this statement. Now, here's where we could really derail quick, so please stay with me. Me knowing I am saved, okay, is not based on God confirming or making it evident through some spectacular event. Let that sink in. Don't get too crazy on me. Because God does confirm things all the time. But my salvation experience was confirmed a long time ago when Christ died and rose again. He's already confirmed salvation. We don't have to have another spectacular event with this. Agreed? All right, okay, good. So hopefully no derailment. But will own authenticity, my faith will prove itself, it will evidence itself, it will show its authenticity through an obedient lifestyle to a holy God. That, if you want to know if you're truly saved or not, look at how you're living. If you are following Scripture, if you are obeying a holy God, it's most likely because of the Spirit that's living within you that's evidencing by how you are living. So if you want to know, look in the mirror. Don't wait for God to do this spectacular thing to show you. He's already done that. Now he wants to work in you to allow you to see things the way that they need to be seen. In John 13, this is Jesus talking. He says, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. What? Another one? A new commandment. This is the easy one. That you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by what? By how you love one another, all will know that you are my disciples. You want to know how you're evidencing Christ? Look at how you treat one another. Jesus said, people will be able to know that you are a Christ follower. How? By how you love one another. Now listen, those aren't my words. I'm just sharing them. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to know if you are truly living for me, you will be able to show that by how you love one another. In fact, not just by how you do it, but people will see it and they will be able to know it by how you are living and treating one another. That's huge. He says, they will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. It's pretty specific, right? Then he flips over a couple of chapters later because that's how Jesus spoke in chapters, right? That'll sink in a minute. In his conversation, he says, this is my commandment. He's coming right back at it, that you love one another. He says, listen, all I'm trying to get you to understand that if you want people to know that you are following me, love one another for crying out loud. Stop being mean. Stop being selfish. Just love one another. Be kind-hearted. Be gentle. Be caring. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Well, how has Christ loved us? Did he love us when we made everything right and perfect? Did he wait until we stopped sinning and stopped being mean? He loved us before he even knew us. And so we should give that same consideration to people rather than being judgmental based on how they are, what car they drive, what color of skin they have. And that is hard for some of us. Shouldn't be. Because all people are created in whose image? My image. That's right. They're created just like me. No, they are created in the image of God. They are his creature, his creation. Should not matter what they look like. We need to stop all of that. That is not godly. Amen. Thank you. He says, greater love. So he's going to give us the greatest example of what love is going to look like. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Now, a little bit later in this chapter, he's talking to his disciples, and he calls his disciples, you guys aren't my servants anymore, you are my friends. And I'm going to show you what true love really looks like. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Right in front of your very eyes. And what God is asking of us is for us to show the greatest form of love, not just to our friends, but to him, by laying down our life. Why? Because we say we love him. Well, if I'm laying down my life because I love him, then no longer do I get to live the life that I want to live. Therefore, it is evidence that I am living differently because no longer is my life alive. Following all that? So here's the second thing. Faith is evidenced by how we love one another. Not only is it evidenced by how we live our life and what we do, by loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, but it's centered again around by how we love one another. Do you see a common theme yet? John 14, again, Jesus is talking. And again, he is hitting this whole love. If you love me, so this is the question, do I really love God? Well, here's how you can know. If you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, this isn't a rocket science sermon. This is stuff you can read on your own and you can understand that. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's the same way we parent. If you truly love me, do what I've told you to do. And what do most kids do? They will do that until they turn teenager and lose their mind. Right? Now, even then, now it's become a struggle. Now they have to work through things. Now they have to figure out, okay, do I love my parents the way that I say that I love them? Or am I going to make this life about me? As a kid, it's already about them anyway, but they are at least obedient to some degree. When they get to the teenager, now they get to kind of have this freedom and power to choose. It's kind of like we are with God. As a new believer, everything is new. I want to do everything right. And as I get older, I get a little more... Get my shoulders drawn back a little bit, grow my own little feathers and kind of puff them out because I got it figured out. So now I can do things on my own, and he'll just fix them when I goof them up. Right? Mm-mm. If I truly love him, I will cut those feathers. I will remain humble, and I will follow him and do what he's calling me to do. If I love him, I will keep his commandments. But watch what he does. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you do. You know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Do you know why I like that? It's another evidence. You ever get in that spot where you're not sure what to do? You think it's wrong, but you're not quite sure. And that nervousness starts happening, boiling up from within. You ever had that? That's the worst, but it's also the best. Because that's the Spirit of God rumbling around saying, probably not. Bad idea. Let's not do that. Mm-mm. But is he going to force you to not do it? Mm-mm. Love is a choice. I have to choose that I love him more than what my body is wanting to do. That is the whole laying down my life because I love him. Loves that. He goes on to say, he who has my commandments and keeps them. So now we know truth. When you sit in Sunday, you're going to get truth. When you sit in your go groups, you're going to get truth. When you come on Wednesday nights, you're going to get truth. So you can't say you don't know because we're going to tell you. So he who has my commandments and keeps them. So now that you know, if you're doing it, that's who loves me. That is a strong statement. That's not Paul just throwing something out. That is Jesus making the statement, keeping my commandments and doing what I'm asking you to do, that's how I know you love me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Faith is evidenced not just by what we do, not just by how we love one another, but by the Spirit of God that lives within us. There should always be an inner working going on within us of either changing things or confirming things or moving us or strengthening us. There should always be something going on. And I realize that there are times where it feels a little dead. There are times where it seems a little quiet. That's okay. If it persists, maybe you should check it out. But sometimes God's already given you something to do and he's just waiting for you to do it. Maybe he's waiting for you to complete that thing that he's already thrown out. And when you get that one done, then there'll be more. But maybe you can't get any more until this one is tackled because everything's going to build off what you're supposed to be doing right here, right now. So if it's quiet right now, maybe you should hit your knees and say, what did I miss? Because our faith is evidenced by the moving of the Spirit of God within us. Think about the book of Acts. How did they know? Man, they knew because the Spirit got all over them. When you accept Christ, the Spirit enters within you and begins to move and groove and do all kinds of cool stuff. That's how we know. Man, I gotta hurry. He continues with this theme of, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how they will know, because you're keeping my commandments. He says to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. Man, he does not relent in chapter 14 on this whole thought. 13, 14, and 15 actually talks about all of this. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Watch this. He who does not love me does not keep my words. So when we do not obey God, we are essentially saying, I'm not loving you right now. Does that sound fun? But that's where we live. That's where we exist sometimes because of the way that we do things, the way that we think, the words that come out of our mouth, the places that we go, the things that we look at. He says, again, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And Jesus is basically saying what I said. Look, these aren't my words. That's what God said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Faith is evidenced by simply loving God through an obedient life. Listen, obedience is an absolute choice. It's an absolute choice. And we are choosing, there are two different paths here. We are either choosing to obey to avoid the consequences, because that's sometimes a smart choice. But rather, we should be obeying because we're choosing to love God. It's not about avoiding the consequences. It is about obeying and loving our Holy Father. That's really what it should be about. And really, that is a changing of our thinking. It is a choice within our mind. It's not about avoiding the consequence. It is about loving God and allowing people to see that how I am living my life, contrary to how everybody else lives, I love something bigger than myself. It's huge. So it's living through an obedient life. You guys still with me? All three of you. Fantastic. Here we go. In John 15, he goes back and he again talks this way. I would encourage you, John 13, 14, and 15, go back home and read it. It's good stuff. If the world hates you, which as believers, Christians, they will if they aren't already, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So this is Jesus' way of trying to encourage us. You're going to be hated, but just know it's okay because they hated me first. Okay. If you were of the world would love its own. If you were living like everybody else, they're going to leave you alone. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. How do we know based on our faith and how we are living is by the way the world treats you because of the faith evidenced through you. How do I know that my faith is real? How do I know that this is happening? Well, there's lots of different ways. I gave you five right there that you can start with. You can start looking, am I living the life that I'm supposed to be living? Am I loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? And am I loving my neighbor as myself? If I am, great, then maybe I'm heading in the right direction. Actually, it's not a maybe. I am heading in the right direction. The second thing is, by how I love one another. So now I'm not just talking about loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. Am I truly loving people? Not just in thought and in word, but in my actions as well. And then next one, is the Spirit of God truly moving within me? Am I giving him room to move? Am I giving him permission to call the shots? Am I allowing him to go and do what he needs to do in my heart and in my life? Am I living an obedient life? To me, that is probably the first and foremost out of all of these. Am I just being obedient? Or am I trying to live it how I want to live and just come back for the forgiveness when it's necessary? That is a dangerous game to play, and I would caution you greatly on that one. And then lastly, we'll soon find out who the true believers are. Our world is quickly changing around us, and the pressures of life to continue to do things that are right, to live a God-honoring life, is going to become increasingly difficult. Don't know if you know it or not, but there is some legislation in California to make the Bible illegal. It's here. We'll see who really is bought into this. We'll see who is truly loving God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving their neighbor as ourselves when the pressure begins to hit. And let me tell you something. Let me encourage you. Don't wait until it hits to decide. Today is the day to know. Salvation is evidenced by an obedient life. It is being different from where we were to where we are today. And maybe this morning this is news to you. You don't even know what the whole salvation experience is. Love to spend time after the service to talk to you about that. Maybe this morning those five things are sticking in your mind and you're thinking about, okay, wait a second. One of those I'm not really hitting yet. And maybe that is what you need to take to the Lord this morning. As we bow our head and close our eyes, I'm just going to ask you to think about those five things. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Not that it is a work salvation, but there should be some evidence of something going on within me. Am I loving my neighbor as myself? Do I feel the Spirit of God within me? If I don't, maybe I need to check something. Am I living an obedient life? And am I ready for what is to come? Am I strong enough? Am I confident enough in my faith to withstand the hatred that is coming? If one of those things fits you and you just want me to pray for you this morning, would you just simply lift your hand so I can be praying for you? Awesome. Hands all over. I appreciate that. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else? God, thank you for the truth of your word, the simplicity of it. Gotta ask that. I ask that doubt not creep in, but that confidence would take over. Confidence in our decision to follow you. Confidence in your word that we can look at it and say, okay, am I matching up to these things? And if not, then I need to make a change. Lord, I pray that in the hearts of those that raised hands, God, they are wrestling with these things and they just want to know. God, I pray that you would bring that confidence to their heart and to their mind. And Lord, the thing that they may be doing or not doing, I pray that you would give them the courage to make the necessary change that they can know for sure deep down within their heart. Because our lives, God, the faith that lives within us is evidenced by what comes out. May we be obedient followers of Christ. Thanks for all that you do. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming today. Just so you know, I wanted to tell you our roof project is going very well. We've got it scheduled for the last week in May. And you guys raised over $25,000. So very good. Awesome.